We're going to be preaching out of 1 John, actually 1 John, and then again we'll go to 2 John to close out. We're back to this series on the Antichrist, and during this sixth message, I believe it's the sixth message, if I'm not mistaken, on the Antichrist, we will be spending our time then in this first and second epistle of John, considering what the apostle has written, concerning not the Antichrist, but his early forerunners, who were only shadows, we have to remember, of what was to come. This is very important to understand that. The apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 spoke directly of the Antichrist, as does Daniel to some extent, and then certainly John a great deal in Revelation. But today we're not going to be looking at a mirror image of the Antichrist. We have to remember that. But we're going to be looking at certain characteristics of the Antichrist and his early ancestors. So we're in 1 John, turn to chapter 2, 18 through 24. We'll just go through it verse by verse. We're not going to linger very long in any one verse. We have so much ground to cover. But my goal will be to bring out the important points here, which are directly relevant to Antichrist, whom we hold to be the Pope, the papacy, every Pope. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Last time speaks of the New Testament dispensation. It is the last time, and as you have heard, Antichrist shall come, as ye have heard from the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Paul, for instance, in 2 Thessalonians, remember that? Chapter 2, verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So they were warning them of the Antichrist to come. Even now, the Apostle John says, are there many Antichrists? Much to beware of. Many Antichrists. These are not mere images of the Antichrist who will literally oppose Christ by supplanting him. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We went over that quite thoroughly already previous to this message. Now, the Antichrist of which John warns claimed to be for Christ also, but opposed Christ by putting a false Christ in his place. Not themselves, though, but a false Christ which they preach and teach. That's clear by the totality of this warning and a further warning in this same epistle. John writes, whereby we know that it is the last time. The fact that false Christs are being preached is not the conclusive evidence and proof that it is the last time. Christ's coming, being made of a woman, made under the law, living among us, dying for us, rising again from the grave, ascending into heaven. That showed it was the last time. But the fact that there are many antichrists, John says this is a reminder that it is the New Testament times, because Christ Jesus has been made manifest in the flesh. He has fulfilled the prophecies regarding the Messiah. He has paid in full the ransom for his people. He has lived, he has died, he has rose again, he has ascended into heaven. And so now, getting to the point, the devil naturally has raised up false teachers who peddle a false Christ. Not speaking in this case of a false Jewish Messiah who would defeat the Romans and set up his kingdom on earth, but rather these antichrists preach a false Christ who looks more like the true Christ to the undiscerning, to the simple, so to speak, as Paul warns in Romans chapter 16, is it? how the simple are deceived by those with good words and fair speeches, whereby we know that it is the last time, because these antichrists now are surfacing. And verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They were not of us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. John is speaking of Antichrist, which in his day had separated themselves from the true church. That is, they apostatized from the true church. Well, there you are. There's already a resemblance to the Antichrist, the leader of that great apostasy. But these Antichrists began in the church and came out of the church, but they were never truly of the true church. They were false converts. They were deceivers. They are apostates. And we spent much time showing in a previous message of this series, the Antichrist is the head of a great apostate false Christian church. So it is that his forerunners are apostates who will not abide in and submit to the truth as it's set forth in the scriptures. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. The false brethren, the Antichrist, the apostates, though still claiming to be in Christ and of the church, show that they're liars. If they were in Christ, if they were of the church and in Christ, they would have remained with the true church, founded in and bounded by and nourished on true doctrine, preached and taught by Christ's true ministers. But the Antichrist could find no place in such a true church, whose ministers will not tolerate their errors or allow them to spread their lies among the Lord's people. And so the Antichrist denounced the true ministers and the true church. They claimed themselves to be both, instead, the true ministers and the true church, just as the popes do. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. We can be sure, as is clear from the scriptures, that the Antichrist, the deceivers, the corrupters and deceivers, just simply could not stand the sound doctrine of the faithful church, and they were not made welcome by the apostles and the faithful ministers of the church, and they couldn't have their way with the church and in the church, and in fact, they were confronted in their error, they were called to repentance, or they would be disfellowshipped. And so out they went, and in the going they made manifest that they were not of the true church, though they had been in her. This is the way it should always be. Unfortunately, it's far from this today. Antichrists should be made manifest. They should be confronted. And, of course, the Antichrist should be made manifest by the ministers of God. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. An unction from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth. An unction is an anointing with the gifts and graces belonging to the heirs of salvation. You have that if you're a Christian. These gifts and graces come through Christ. They were purchased for us by Christ Jesus. They're communicated by the Holy Spirit to us. Ye know all things. That is the true Christian. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who gives understanding by the word of God of all things necessary for obedience and sanctification and safety from false teachers and their teachings. Ye know all things. That's what that means. You ought not to be taken advantage of by these teachers. You have this anointing by the indwelling Holy Spirit. 1 John 4, verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Ye know all things. You have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in John 10, 4 and 5. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, speaking of him, the good shepherd, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. There are an awful lot of people calling themselves Christians today that don't know the voice of the stranger. It ought not to be so. If you're a Christian, you have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. It does not mean, of course, that you know all things, you have all knowledge and wisdom. But God, by the Holy Spirit and His Word, has made known to you, if you desire to know, all the things, all the wisdom and knowledge that's in Christ, all the things that we need to know through Christ in the Word, to know these antichrists, to flee from these false teachers, the voice of strangers. Let's jump ahead to 26 and 27, because this explains it even more. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things which I have written unto you, concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. I want to make plain what I'm going to say is only a bare summary of this text I just read to you, as it applies to the main topic of this series, as it applies, in fact, here to the Holy One, the anointing that you have, the unction. I want to just address the main topic, which is identifying the Antichrist. John is not saying that Christians are in no need of ministers and teachers, not at all. If that were the case, the apostles and the ministers such as Timothy were wasting their time and risking their lives for nothing. The scriptures make it very plain that the Lord does call and give certain men to be the church's ministers, the church's shepherds under Christ. But the point here is that every true Christian is a spiritual man, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, anointed to one extent or another with heavenly gifts and graces. Now we can quench the work of the Spirit in our lives. But if we're a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit, and we ought to be growing in grace and holiness and understanding and wisdom by the Spirit, by the Word. And so we all have the Spirit. We all have that unction to one extent or another. Every Christian then has a responsibility to prove all things, to search the Scriptures, to be vigilant against false teachers and false doctrine. Yes, ministers have a grave responsibility in this regard. And true ministers should have the most discernment and wisdom to detect false teachings and teachers. But no Christian is without responsibility, and none are defenseless against error, since the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, is willing to teach all humble, diligent Christians all things needed in order to guard them against all errors and all false teachings and teachers, including their very minister, if he proves to be a wolf in sheep's clothing by his teaching. Therefore, no Christian should be drawn away from Christ by antichrists. All should abide in the teachings of Christ, in the true church of Christ, ministered to by the true ministers of Christ. Go back now to verse 20. I said I wasn't going to be long in that passage, but you see how it does go so well with 20. Let's read 20 again and then 21. We have a lot of ground to cover. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. John didn't write to them as those sitting in darkness. He wrote to them as children of light, spiritual men and women, able to discern spiritual things, able to discern truth from error, able to discern true ministers from liars. Able, that is, if they're walking in obedience to Christ and not quenching the Spirit. Now, John wrote to them to warn and remind them of the dangers of Antichrist. And he puts the matter very plainly, doesn't he? It's so plain that I think some people don't see the forest for the trees. It's so plain when he says they know that no lie is of the truth. Jesus is the truth incarnate. Jesus is the incarnate word. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The scriptures are the word of truth. Those who hold to, teach, preach, and spread doctrinal error as scriptural truth show they're liars. They're not children of God. They're not in Christ, since no lie is of the truth. Those who continue to do this are shown to be liars, since no lie is of the truth. And so those who are of Christ, born again of the Spirit, they have no excuse to bear with such liars, and they're playing a very dangerous game when they do. The Antichrist are not of the truth, because they are liars who hold to lies. It doesn't matter if they preach and teach some truth and some lies. What does John say? No lie is of the truth. So they're not of the truth. It does not matter if their lies are cloaked in spiritual sounding words and good words, fair speeches, or accompanied by false piety. No lie is of the truth. It doesn't matter what good works they do. It doesn't matter what good causes they're involved in. No lie is of the truth. I say if they're not preaching the truth, these other things don't matter. No lie is of the truth. Good works don't make them Christians. Good words don't make them Christians. Mixing truth with lies makes them liars. No lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth, and those who preach and teach and spread and defend false doctrines are not then of Christ the truth. They're not of the eternal word of truth, the scriptures. No lie is of the truth. No unrighteousness is of righteousness. No darkness is of light. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. No lie is of the truth. The forerunners of the Antichrist were liars, deceivers preaching an admixture of truth and lies of light and darkness. That's what false teachers do. That's what they do today. And the Antichrist, that wicked, as Paul calls him, the Pope, is a liar like his father, the devil. He is a master deceiver. That's obvious from the Pope's doctrine, his claims, his teachings, his law. That should be as clear as day to any true Christian. He's a liar. He's not of the truth. The devil is the father of lies, and the Pope is his own son. To treat the Pope as if he is a Christian is grievous sin and spiritual stupidity. No lie is of the truth. The Pope lies constantly, day after day after day, century after century after century. He lies, he lies, he lies. His claims concerning himself are all lies. His teaching are lies. His church is founded and grounded in lies. 22 and 23. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now, there are many who say, well, the Pope can't be the Antichrist since he does not deny Christ. He doesn't come out and deny Christ, they say. But of course the Pope denies Christ on the grandest scale of all and has for many, many long centuries. Remember, the Antichrist pretends to be for Christ but opposes Christ. The Antichrist actually puts himself in place of Christ, as we've been saying over and over and showing. The Antichrist is not an open, announced enemy of Christ. He doesn't openly deny Christ Jesus to be what the scriptures witness him to be. But Antichrist does deny Christ using sophistry and deception. He's a liar. All who deny any of the doctrines concerning the deity and the humanity of Christ Jesus are liars and antichrists. It's that simple. Those who deny that Christ Jesus is eternal God, the second person of the Godhead, the eternally begotten Son of God, co-eternal and co-equal, coexistent, the same in substance, equal in power and glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit. All who deny that are liars and antichrists. Those who deny that in the fullness of the times, the Son of God was made manifest in the flesh, taking to himself a true body and reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin, and born of her, yet without sin, and impeccable in his nature. They're all liars and antichrists. Now, this is directly related to this. Those who deny in any way the infinite worth and the full eternal sufficiency and efficacy of the active and passive obedience of Christ, that is, his life lived under the law and his death died on the cross, as the church's head and substitute and surety, are liars and antichrists. Those who deny one person of the Godhead in any way, deny all persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in one God, of course. There is only one true God in three persons. Now, these things should be obvious to all Christians. Does the Pope deny Christ over and over again? The Pope denies the infinite worth, sufficiency, and efficacy of the blood and righteousness of Jesus. The blood and righteousness of Jesus has this infinite worth. It is fully sufficient. It has this efficacy. Why? Because he's God. He's God and he's man. And he's God manifest in the flesh. And when the Pope denies the infinite worth, sufficiency, and efficacy of the blood and righteousness of Jesus, he denies Jesus as being God manifest in the flesh. The popes deny, like no one else ever has, Christ Jesus when they usurp his offices, his names, his authority, and his power as well. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Acknowledgeth has the sense of a saving, confessing faith in Christ. This speaks of those who know Christ, who cleave to the truth about Jesus in the Scriptures and to the truth as it is in Jesus. This speaks of those who confess and contend for the true Christ and the true doctrines of Christ. This shows they are the children of God, born of the Spirit. Now, verse 24 through 27, I'll just read it, and then we're going to turn to the next place we want to be in this epistle. But we'll just read 24 through 27. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. It just simply is an exhortation to the true Christian. It's an exhortation to vigilance and constancy in Christ. And we'll leave it at that and go to chapter 4. As I say, we have much ground to cover. Chapter 4. Let's again just go verse by verse. I'll go through verse 6 in chapter 4, first epistle of John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Believe not every spirit. This is essential. Today, people just believe every minister that comes along if he tickles their ears just a little bit. Believe not every spirit. Simply put, here is a warning that Christians are not to believe every minister or teacher simply because he claims to be in Christ and to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Beware of false teachers, children of the devil, liars. The spirit you're listening to, the spirit that they're following, is the devil, not Christ. They're not preaching by the Holy Spirit. They're preaching, you might say, by the devil. We have already considered, of course, 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Believe not every spirit. False apostles, deceitful workers. We think of Judas, the son of perdition, the false apostle, the betrayer of Christ. We think of the Pope, that other son of perdition, the false apostle, the man of sin, the betrayer of Christ. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Carefully, prayerfully test the teachings and doctrines of ministers by the word of God. The context, of course, if we would go back a little bit to verse 24 of the previous chapter, is this: and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And then, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits. You see that? He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, in Christ, and he in him by the Holy Spirit. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. The Holy Spirit will not contradict the apostolic teaching, since it is his teaching. He will not contradict the scriptures, since they are the revealed word of God, inspired and revealed by him to the apostles. So, and of course, previously to the prophets. So any minister or teacher who tries to pass off false doctrine and error cannot be of God. He is not of the Spirit of God, but the spirit of the devil, the spirit of Antichrist. And as a footnote, I will tell you, I suppose I don't have to warn you, women teachers are not of God. None of them. None of them. They're not teaching by the Spirit of God, since women are not to fill the office of either minister or teacher in the church or among the Lord's people. And yet, what do we see? Women's conferences all over, the women flock to them and they have their women teachers. Oh, they only teach certain things. Do you see that in the scriptures? That God has ordained that women should fill the office of teacher in the church? I don't. Quite the contrary. Try the spirits, whether they are of God. We just read 1 Corinthians 2:20 and 21, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, that no lie is of the truth. There's no excuse. You say you're a Christian. You say that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within. Well, then, we ought to know the truth. We ought to be able to identify the false teachers. If we're quenching the Spirit, of course, we're going to be more vulnerable. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We ought to be noble like the Bereans. Prove all things, Paul says. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Try the spirits whether they are of God. Test, prove, expose the Antichrist. And this is vital because, as we see here, many false prophets, false apostles, ministers, and teachers are gone out into the world. Certainly the Pope is the consummate, ultimate false apostle, minister, and teacher, in fact. Also claiming to be the church's prophet, and so forth, as we've talked. Verses 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. We're supposed to try the spirits. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now here some defenders of the Pope say, well, the Antichrist cannot be the Pope, since the Pope confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he is God manifest in the flesh. Well, we've already touched on that, but first of all, this speaks of the early Antichrists who were but a shadow of what was to come, not the substance. It is a reflection, not a mirror image. But having said that, I will tell you the Pope, as I've already mentioned, most certainly does not truly confess, honestly confess, by his teaching that Christ Jesus is truly God manifest in the flesh, true God joined to true man in a hypostatic union. He does not truly confess that. He lies. When he confesses that, he lies. And his teachings show that he's a liar. His teachings do not confess that Christ Jesus is come in the flesh. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, we certainly know this applies to those who deny Christ actually took to himself a true body and a reasonable soul. We know that. Thinking of the Gnostics now, for instance. But there's a wider meaning as well. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That is, every minister and teacher who holds firmly to all the doctrines concerning the divinity and humanity of Christ, most certainly, including as the church's head, substitute, and surety, is of God. This is opposed to the false teachers spoken of in verse 3, who are the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 3 again. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. John doesn't say that the Antichrist openly deny the Messiah. That is to say that they scoffed at the idea of God sending his anointed one to save his people from their sins. Rather, they would not and did not confess that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh, that he truly was manifest in the flesh. Now, obviously, the unbelieving Jews refused to acknowledge and receive Christ Jesus as the Messiah, but the warning here concerns Antichrist, which had come from within the church. That's what we're talking about here, within the Christian church. The warning would certainly include any who had come under the Gnostic influence, and so they were claiming that while Christ Jesus had appeared, he had not actually taken to himself a flesh and blood body, since the Gnostics say and said that anything physical is intrinsically evil. But I need to get to the essential truth of this matter. All who deny any of the doctrines concerning the deity and humanity of Christ Jesus are liars and antichrists. It's that simple. Those who deny that Christ Jesus is eternal God, the second person of the Godhead, the eternally begotten Son of God, co-eternal, co-existent, the same in substance, equal in power and glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, are liars and antichrists. And every spirit that confesseth, our text says, not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Those who deny that in the fullness of the time, the Son of God was made manifest in the flesh, taking to himself a true body and reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin and born of her, yet without sin and impeccable in his nature, are liars and antichrists. Christ's deity united to his humanity was essential to the infinite worth of his sacrifice and satisfaction. But it was of infinite worth because he was God manifest in the flesh. He had come in the flesh. His humanity was essential to his substitution and satisfaction for his people as their federal head, the one who stood in their place. His divinity was essential to the infinite worth of his sacrifice and his satisfaction, and that he might absorb, as we said, and propitiate, I said this morning, the wrath of God. So those that deny the true, impeccable humanity of Christ or his deity in any way, shape, or form by any doctrine or teaching are antichrists who deny Christ as being God manifest in the flesh. Remember, the spirit of antichrist is the spirit of deception. The antichrist is the master deceiver and liar. It's essential then that we understand this. Those who deny in any way the infinite worth, sufficiency, and efficacy of the active and passive obedience of Christ, That is, his life lived under the law and his death died in their place as the church's head and substitute and surety. They are all liars and antichrists who deny Christ as God incarnate in the flesh. Does the Pope deny then that Christ has come in the flesh, that he truly is God incarnate in the flesh? Yes, by his teachings. Most certainly the Pope denies Christ as God manifest in the flesh, true God and true man, two natures, not commingled, yet inseparable, always acting in unison and perfect harmony. The Pope denies Christ Jesus as God manifest in the flesh over and over again. With the Romish system of works salvation, does it not deny the infinite worth, sufficiency, and efficacy of the blood and righteousness of Christ? If Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, then there is no need for any works of men for salvation. And in fact, all those works are anyway filthy rags. And popery denies Christ as God incarnate over and over with its blasphemy and belittling of Christ as the church's redeemer, her prophet, priest, and king. And popery even openly denies that Christ has a true body, since the heart of Roman Catholic dogma is the real presence of Christ's flesh and blood in the Mass. That is, they say the body and the blood of Christ is separated into many thousands of wafers and cups of wine around the world at any given time of day. So don't tell me that popery does not deny that Christ Jesus came in the flesh, true flesh and blood, that he is truly God manifest in the flesh. This is the spirit of Antichrist, the apostle warns, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is it in the world. Antichrists were already about, but they were, so to speak, little antichrists, with various false doctrines concerning the deity and humanity of Christ Jesus. They were only shadows of what was to come, the Antichrist that was to come. And so we don't look for a perfect mirror image of the Antichrist in them, but we do look for characteristics of him, and we have done that just now. Now, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome him, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Need to overcome the liar, the devil. Need to overcome him with all his lies. You have an unction from the Holy Ghost. If you have an unction from the Holy Ghost, you ought to understand what we've been saying here as far as the Antichrist being a deceiver, and that he truly does deny the Lord Jesus Christ to have come in the flesh, to be God manifest in the flesh. He says, ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Christians are of God. They are born of the Spirit and indwelt by him. They are in spiritual union with the Son. They are the children of the Father. John says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the Antichrist. That's because they were of God, these Christians to whom John wrote. And they had an unction from the Holy Spirit. And they proved. They were proving the spirits. They were trying the spirits. And so they overcame the Antichrist. And the Antichrist went out from among them. These Christians were not deceived and seduced by the Antichrist. Rather, these spirit-filled Christians, led by their ministers and proving all things by the Word of God, resisted and rejected the Antichrist and their teachings, overcoming them by the Word of God and the sword of the Spirit. And of course, their descendants too would face the Antichrist and overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, because they love not their life unto death. So yes, the Antichrist then were of that great deceiver and seducer, Satan, and now nothing's changed. But the Holy Spirit, which dwells in the Christian, is the teacher, the Spirit of truth. And he's so far greater than Satan. And so there's no reason why Christians should ever be overcome by the seduction and deception of false teachers and ministers and the devil. And that includes especially the Pope and all his priests. We should not be overcome by them. Read verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Speaking of the Antichrist here. The false teachers, the Antichrist then, were not of the kingdom of God, but of the world. They were unregenerate worldlings, ministers of the prince of this world, the devil. Therefore, speak they of the world, the apostle says. That is, they don't speak by the Spirit of God, but they spoke the wisdom so-called of the world, and they said the things that serve to seduce and deceive the world. And so it is, the world heareth them. All too often, worldly Christians, if they are Christians, hear them as well. And today the Pope knows which cards to play. He's been playing this game for many centuries. Knows which cards to play to gain favor with the world. He knows which causes to get behind. He knows which factions to back. He knows which palms to grease. He knows which good words and fair speeches to utter. In Revelation 13, verse 3, Lord willing, we'll get to that in the course of time as we talk about the Antichrist. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are of God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The Lord's sheep hear him. We are of God, the apostles first, and then the Lord's true ministers. Guarding the sheep, preaching the word of God. Therefore, he that knoweth God heareth us. I am not saying, of course, that the ministers today are on the same par with the apostles. We have to first understand the primary meaning, the apostles. They're speaking, they're inspired of the Spirit, speaking the very word of God. Those that knoweth God heareth us, the apostle says. But then too, true Christians understand, prove, discern the things of God that are preached by his ministers. Those who have a saving faith in Christ, that know Christ Jesus as their Savior, Lord, and King, God is their Father, and the Holy Spirit is their teacher. Those who know God hear the Word of God by the Spirit. Those true Christians hear the true ministers of God and reject all other teachers and ministers. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Hereby we, the text says, true Christians, know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That is, by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, they prove all things preached and taught. 1 John 3, verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It is a tragic, destructive reproach today that so many evangelicals and their ministers cannot even discern. You can turn over to 2 John. That the Pope is of the spirit of error, let alone that he's the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. I'm just going to read 7 through 11. You can take the things that I've already shared and apply it to this passage. But I want to read it. John warns again in 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So, of course, we've already covered that, haven't we? Then he says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves. Don't backslide. Even if you are a Christian, don't be led away from the truth by these false teachers. Don't get involved in things you're not supposed to get involved in. Don't lose the things that you've built. You know, Christians can even lose discernment, can't they? They can lose wisdom. The things that they've done can all go to ashes. But that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Most certainly that includes all the doctrines of Christ. Hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. It could not be clearer. And why evangelicals think it's just fine to commit spiritual fornication with the Pope, the Antichrist, it's hard to understand, isn't it? You have to wonder. You have to wonder what is going on in our world today, in the church today, that so many are falling for the lies of the Antichrist. Well, I think the things we've shared from the Word of God answers that question.